Well, turning your Bibles, Galatians chapter 6. We're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. And I think this is a great letter, and we're seeing truths of the gospel and Christian life. And we realize that salvation is a gift by faith in Jesus Christ. He died and rose again. It's not works. It's our faith in him. We trust in him, and we have eternal life. Christian life is the same way. It's a walk of faith. It's not in the law or rules, but it's by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. As we look in chapter 6, we're seeing, this is the practical section of the book, the last two chapters. He's given truths and principles on how we're to live as those who belong to Jesus Christ. Last time we saw the idea about that we are accountable not only to God but to others. In fact, we looked at it this way. We said we're accountable to others. And if you remember at chapter 6, verse 1, it says, brethren, if anybody's caught in a trespass, somebody gets caught up into sin, we help restore them. So we're accountable to others to help them. We're also accountable to bear one another's burden. We talked last week about that every one of us have issues and trials and problems and things that are just too big for us to make it alone. And so we have to do that. We also saw that we're accountable to God. The whole idea of looking at our lives, examining our lives, seeking to live for Christ, bearing our own load, as he called it, and that is that we live in such a way that Jesus Christ is glorified. This morning, we continue. We're seeing some truths concerning rewards and lifestyle. Now, some people have never even been taught about rewards. In fact, I've talked to some people, and some people think that the reward is going to heaven. Heaven's not a reward. Heaven's a gift given by faith. You don't earn heaven. You're given to you by faith in Jesus Christ. But as we live and as we serve, there are going to be rewards, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to see this. We're seeing the truths concerning rewards. How we live now affects us now and affects us in our future. And we're talking about blessings and rewards. Our actions have results now and when we stand before Jesus Christ. This is called the principle of sowing and reaping. And we're going to look at it, and we're going to see how it fits together from the Bible and how it fits. When you look in the scripture, there are a number. I just taught a class last Wednesday night in my 2-2 class at the Bible Institute, and we looked at the judgments of the Bible. But I want you to think about two key judgments. Now, by the way, when you think of judgment, you think of something bad. But a judgment, several judgments in the Bible are not bad at all. But there are two key judgments that I want to mention to you today. One's called the judgment seat of Christ, which is actually the rewarding stand, the rewarding seat of Christ. And then there's one called the great white throne judgment. Now, I put a little chart for you to see this. If you see that over there on that side is where Christ came and he died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. We're in the church age. After that's a rapture, followed by this 7-year tribulation. Then Jesus comes the second time to the earth, and there's a millennial kingdom followed by the eternal state. Now, if you notice, at the end of the millennial kingdom, there's a thing called the great white throne judgment. It's for unbelievers. They stand before God. The books of life are open. The books of life are open. And anyone's name not found in the book of life is cast to the lake of fire. Well, unbelievers' names are not found in the book of life, and so they're cast to the lake of fire. That's called the great white throne judgment. There is another judgment, if you notice back up over there above rapture, where it says the judgment seat of Christ. The word judgment there is the word bema in the Greek, which actually means rewarding seat. It's the rewarding seat of Christ. And we find that the church, the body of Christ, when we're raptured and taken off the face of the earth, we will stand before our Savior. It's not for salvation, anything like that. It's for rewards, and that's why it's called the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to be rewarded. Let me show you a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded for the things that we've done in this body. Romans 14 says, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall give praise to God. So each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, we build with either gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, and then fire test it, and there's reward. So every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's a rewarding stand to be rewarded for how you've lived. Now, if you haven't lived for Jesus Christ, you won't get any rewards. This is nothing to like, I'm standing before Jesus, he's going to decide whether I go to hell or heaven. That's decided when you put your faith in Christ. When you put your faith in Christ, you have eternal life, you're saved forever. This is basically dealing about the rewards that you have as you live for all eternity, not only in the kingdom, but in the eternal kingdom. Now, here's the truth. If we live righteously and godly now, living for Christ, we will reap rewards. If we live in the flesh, we will reap corruption, which is no rewards. We want to sow, as the Bible's going to say in just a minute, we want to sow by the power of the Holy Spirit so we can be rewarded and hear our Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant. So this is for every one of us in this room. When Paul writes this toward the end, he's going to be talking about sowing and reaping and standing before Christ and those kind of things. So this morning we get some practical truths and some great truths. In this final chapter, we've already seen several things, and I mentioned it a while ago. We've seen that we are accountable to others to deal with their sin, to help them deal with sin so they can get back into fellowship and to help bear their burdens. We saw that we're accountable to God to examine our lives and to be faithful. With that in mind, as he continues in chapter 6, Paul is going to talk about the issue of faithfulness and living for God and blessings and rewards and all of those things. And he shows the principle which we call sowing and reaping. There's a cause and effect there. In Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall also reap. That's true in every aspect of your life, whether it's in your job, whether it's in a farm, whether it's in your faith, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your relationship, whatever you're putting in is what you're going to get out. We have already seen in chapter 5 that if you live by the power of the flesh, certain things come out. If you live by the power of the Spirit, certain things come out. If you remember, the deeds of the flesh were Galatians chapter 5, 19, 20, and 21. We saw that. Then we saw the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We saw that. If you live in the flesh, what comes out is the deeds of the flesh. If you live, if you sow to the flesh, you reap of the flesh. If you sow of the Spirit, you reap of the Spirit. Whatever you put in, you get out. Now, here's the most amazing thing. If you, as a child of God, as a believer, say, listen, I want my life to count for Christ. I want to live for him. I want to serve him. The most amazing truth is this, that God will reward us for serving him. You understand? That's amazing. Think about it. He saves us. He empowers us. He gives us. He uses us. And then he rewards us for being used by him. Some people are confused. And when they hear, they think heaven, I'm going to go to heaven. That's my big reward. That's not a reward. That's a gift. The rewards are your service. Now, let me show you, or let me say it this way. The rewards are based on your service. Let me give you the outline for our study today, just to give you an idea. He's going to give us an illustration of sowing and reaping. I'm going to say it this way. I like this illustration. You'll see why in just a second if you hadn't read it already. Then we're going to look at the principle. See, he gives the illustration, then he gives the principle of sowing and reaping. So reap what you sow, all of that. He talks about flesh and corruption, spirit and life. And then he ends up by saying, listen, since this is true, then what we need to do is serve faithfully so we can get rewards. And so we'll see it as we go through our passage. And there's so much there. There's the cause and effect. So let's look, and he's going to start by giving an illustration. Now, usually he gives a principle, and then he shows an illustration. And this time he gives the illustration, then he gives the principle. Look at verse 6. He says, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Now, he starts off by saying this in verse 6, the one who's taught the word. See, if you are taught the scripture, I'm going to say it, what this passage says, that whoever's being taught the Bible is then to share all good things with the one who teaches them. So he's given this. He says, the one who's getting instructed. He starts with the learner. He says, the one who is learning, the one who is taught. Now, by the way, I want you to notice something. It says, the one who is taught the word. The teacher is to teach the word of God. He says this, the one who is being taught the word by a teacher, what does he say to do? Is to share all good things with the one who's teaching. And by the way, that word share there has an idea of material things. So listen to what he's saying. He's saying, if you're being taught by someone, you're to share materially with the person that teaches you. That's what he's saying. I'm not changing the verse, okay? Let's see what he says. Look, so the teacher or the learner rewards the teacher. That's what he says. The teacher is sowing the word of God and reaps materially. And the one who is learning is basically getting from the teacher, giving back to the teacher. Teacher's giving to the student, getting back from the student. So it says the one being taught gives as they receive. And that whole idea goes back and forth, a sowing and reaping. So the one being taught gives back to the one teaching. Both are giving and receiving. What this passage actually says is if you're being taught the scripture, you're to share materially with the person teaching you. Now, let's go back to that culture. At that time, there were like what they call rabbis. Jesus was called a rabbi, which means my teacher. And they were men, there were people who would teach, and they would gather around disciples around them. And as they would teach, the people followed, and they provided materially for the one who was teaching. You understand that when Jesus walked on the earth, Jesus didn't have a job. I mean, once he started his ministry, he traveled around, and there were the disciples, and there were the women, and there were people who, and they all contributed to Jesus materially so that they could live. And he would go around teaching. And so even in this time that when Paul is writing this to the Galatians, that he would go around and he would teach places. And what he did is he changed it a little bit. When he would go to a city because he wanted to make sure the gospel was clear, he wouldn't take anything from the people he was teaching. He took it from people he had taught in the past. So all that Paul is saying is, here's a sowing and reaping. If you're a teacher and you sow the word, you reap materially. Then he says, if you're a student and you're getting the word, then you give back materially. Now, how do we reply that today? Well, you could say, well, you come to Stillwater Bible and JB teaches you. Well, I'm not just your teacher. This whole church, this whole body of believers is where you're taught. So if you come to this body and you say, I'm taught by this body, whether it's a Sunday morning or a grow group or an SBI class or a Bible study or a home fellowship, wherever you're being taught connected with this body, then you have a great privilege and responsibility to materially help make sure those teaching aspects, those ministries can go on. That's a bottom line. And so when you think about it, it's saying this. If at this church you come and you say, when I go to that church, I am being taught, whether it's a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or a Tuesday Bible study or a ladies Bible study or something else, if you're being taught by this body, then you have a privilege and responsibility to give. Notice, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches. Let me just say this about a teacher for a minute. I read this quote. I love this. Listen to this. The mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains, the superior teacher demonstrates, and the great teacher inspires. Isn't that beautiful? So let me just say this to you, and just about how all this fits in today. We have privileges. Every Sunday morning, we pass an offering plate. See, it's an opportunity for you to give as an act of worship. And so if this church actually is teaching you, you should give. And I'm not trying to get on to anybody. There's no percentages. You know, a lot of people have been taught you're to tithe. If you've been through our membership training, you understand we're not under that system. You give as your purpose in your heart, not grudgingly necessity. But you're to give because, number one, everything we have, everything you have and we have comes from God. Let me just show you this principle on giving, okay? You give of our first fruits. That's what we're to do. Whatever God gives you, you should take a portion of whatever God gives you, and you should give to the place you're being taught. That's what we're talking about. From the first fruits. What most people do is they get their money, they do everything else, they get it, and then at the end they say, gosh, we would have liked to have given, but we don't have anything left. You give from the first fruits. You give when you get on the front end, you give away. Second is you give as an act of love and worship and trust, meaning that you give as an act of loving God and loving others. You're worshiping God. That's why when we talk about taking up an offering is an act of worship. You're taking what God has given to you, and as an act of worship, you're giving. And then it's an act of trust. Has to be. If you had $1,000 and you decided to give away $100, you're going to have to trust God. You can make it on the 900 rather than the 1,000. I guarantee you always will, but that's an act of trust. And so when you give, and Paul is writing here, and he's just saying to these Galatians, whoever's teaching you, share good things with them. What we would be saying is, if this church is teaching you, whether it's Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or whatever, whatever way is teaching, then you should share as an act of worship and love and trust from the first fruits. You should give in that way. So that's some great things. I'm Paul like that, and I'm sure all first century teachers like that as well. Okay, now, that's the principle, you know, that's the illustration of the principle of sowing and reaping, because the teacher would sow and they would reap materially. Now he's going to give us the principle of sowing and reaping. Look at verse 7. He said, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. He says, listen, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. This is a principle. By the way, let me say this. Don't be fooled, because this principle is true in everything you do. Whatever you put in, you get out. It's like the old computer deal. Whatever you put in your computer, it's what's going to come out. It is true. Whatever you put in your life, whether it's your marriage, your life, your finance, whatever you put in, you're going to get out. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Okay? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You can't, literally the word mock means turn your nose up. That's what it literally means in the Greek. He says, you can't turn your nose up at God and say, I don't believe this is true. Because let me tell you, whatever you put in, you are going to get out. Whether it's good stuff or bad stuff, you put in good stuff, you're going to be blessed. You put in bad stuff, you're going to have corruption. We're going to see it in just a minute. So the bottom line is this, whatever you sow, you're going to reap, you're going to get back. Whatever you plant, you're going to harvest. Whatever you put in. Let me show you a principle that you may not have ever thought of. The scripture talks about it. Whatever you put in, you get out. If you're a farmer and you put in corn, you're going to get corn. If in your life you're sowing to the flesh, you're going to get back the flesh. If you're sowing to the spirit, you're going to get back the spirit. The more you sow, the more you reap. 2 Corinthians 9:6, he who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. He who sows without much, that is reaps much, without much. So the bottom line is whatever you put in, the more you put in, the more you get out. You live righteously and godly, and you want your life to count for Christ, and you're pouring your life into the things of God, you're going to be blessed unbelievably. If you live according to the flesh and you pour your life in the flesh, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be cursed and the problems that way. And then here's the third one. You will always reap more than you sow. Hosea said, you sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. You put in some bad stuff, and it's going to be a lot worse coming back. You put in some good stuff, there's going to be blessings beyond what you could imagine. So there is this principle in the scripture and in life. No matter what you do, whatever you put in, you get back. That is the principle. It's both positive and negative. If you sow to the good, you reap good, and it's even greater. If you sow bad, you reap bad, even greater. The principle is in effect right now in your life today, and it will be in effect in your life when you stand before your Savior, Jesus Christ. You can live today in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will reap blessings, and it'll be blessings beyond what you can imagine. And when you stand before your Savior, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. If you live according to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption right now in your life. And when you stand before Jesus Christ, he will not say, well done. You will be ashamed at his coming. That is a truth, and that's why this principle is so powerful in our lives. If we live by the flesh, we live for ourselves, we reap discipline and shame. If we live by the Spirit, great stuff. Look what he goes on to say. He says, for the one who sows to his own flesh, verse 8, will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. He says, if you sow to the flesh, that means you live in the flesh. And you remember what comes out of your life in the flesh? Listen to this again. The deeds of the flesh are evident: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, enmity, sorcery, strife, jealousy, anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. Remember all those things? He said, if that's how you live, you're going to sow. The one who sows to the flesh, what do you reap? You reap corruption. That means there's nothing lasting out of that. There's nothing that's going to go on. There's nothing that's going to be a blessing to you for the future. Either now or when you stand before Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit, you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, will reap from the flesh eternal life. Look, the one who sows to the Spirit, you know what comes out? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. That's what comes out. And what do you reap there? You reap eternal life. Now, let me explain that to you, because sometimes when you see eternal life, it is referring to time. Like when you trust in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life, and it's a life forever. But sometimes eternal life is described as a quality of life, the quality of life lived with Jesus Christ, eternal life with Christ, and the aspect of that. So he says, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption right now and in the future. And if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life, eternal life, even now and in the future. So what do you want in your life? What do we want? Do we want to go through our lives living in the flesh and reaping corruption now, which is nothing, and then when we stand before our Savior, we're going to be embarrassed? Or do we want to live our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit, having the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of that, and reaping blessings now, life now, a quality of life now, and when we stand before our Savior, we want to hear Him say, well done. So it's a powerful thing. Listen, if you sow to the flesh, you live for nothing. You live for self. You get nothing. Where there is lust, because that's the lust of the flesh, there's emptiness. But if you sow to the Spirit, you live according. You're going to live for God. There will be blessings and rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about when you stand before Jesus Christ and there's this platform that you've been building on. And it says, and you can build gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, or straw. And he says, each person's work will be judged by fire. And if you set fire to gold, silver, and precious stone, it remains. If you set fire to wood, hay, and straw, it's gone. And he says, then whatever's left, you'll be rewarded. And he's symbolically saying that if you're living in the power of the Holy Spirit, that's gold, silver, and precious stone, that's rewards. If you live in the flesh, which is wood, hay, and straw, it's gone. There's nothing there. So, how are we living? What do we want now? And in the future when we stand before our Savior. And the principle of sowing and reaping is right now. It's not just the future. Some people say, well, it doesn't matter how you live now. Someday when you stand before Christ, well, I'll just take my chance. Well, the sowing and reaping affects you now and in the future. When you stand before Jesus, what do we want to hear Him say? Well done. Well done. Now, with that in mind, he says, look, so how do you live? What do you do in relationship to other people? Look what he says. Let's not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So he's still talking about weeping, but he wants to talk about encouraging believers. And he starts with a negative because he says this. Here's the negative. Do not lose heart. He says, listen, let us not lose heart in doing good. When living in the power of the Holy Spirit and doing good for people and our lives would count for Christ. See, when you wake up in the morning, do you say, Lord, I want to wake up and I want my life to count for you and I want to do good on this earth and I want to touch lives for Jesus Christ? Or do you get up and say, what's in it for me today? And what he's saying here, don't grow weary in getting up and saying, Lord, I want my life to count for you. I want to do good. I want my life. I want to live in such a way that you get all the honor and the glory. And so he says, let's not lose heart. That means grow weary. Because the truth is this, when you live for Christ, it's a fallen world. You're in a fallen world, and what you believe, what you stand for, what you want to do, how you want to live, is contrary to the world. We talked about in our Grow group this morning. We talk about when you say, I want to live for Christ, and I want my life to count for Him, and I want to do it. The world says, hey, live for you. Look out for yourself. Do your own thing. Try to figure out how you can get ahead instead of saying, I want my life to count for Christ. You're in a battle, and you're going to grow weary because you're saying, look, I'm trying to live for Christ, but everything seems to be against me living for Christ. It is, because it's a fallen world. And here's what he says. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart in doing good. Don't become discouraged. We're do good. We are to live our lives doing good. Think about this. We are to live our lives doing good. Look at this right here. In Ephesians 2:10, he says, we're created for good works. In Titus chapter 3, verse 8, he says, I want all people to do good deeds. And then notice what he says, and this is what's so amazing. Do not lose heart in doing good, for in due time, for in exactly the right time, we will reap if we do not go weary. See, if you do good, what do you reap? You reap blessing. You sow to the Spirit, you reap life. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. He says, if you do good, we're going to reap if you don't grow weary. Look at this. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. What in the work of the Lord? What knowing that your labor is not in vain? You're going to be rewarded by your Savior for living for Jesus Christ. It's a powerful, powerful truth. we will reap what we sow. Let me put this verse up again so you can understand it. One day you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded. It's called a rewarding stand to be rewarded. Sometime if you get some time, go look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. And he really talks about standing before Jesus Christ to be recompensed, given back for how you lived in this body. He says good and bad. Literally in the Greek it says good and worthless. If you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's good. If you live in the power of the flesh, it's worthless. And one day, you'll give an account. You will stand before your Savior. And how you live now, the reaping and sowing, it's in effect. And how you stand before your Savior and what he says, it's going to be there. Do not lose heart. There's so many of you in this room that when you wake up, you say, Lord, I just want to live for you. I want to have an impact for Jesus Christ. Many of you, you wake up every day, that's what you want to do, and you're seeking to touch lives for Christ, but you can't grow weary because you're going to reap if you don't faint, if you don't stop. Then he goes to the positive. Watch what he says. Here's positive. He says, so then, while we have opportunity, let's do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. He says, while we have the opportunity, while we're still alive, while we have an opportunity on this earth, listen, this is the time right now, from the time you trust Christ to the time you either die physically or he comes back and gets us, this is your time on this earth to serve Jesus Christ. He says, while you have the opportunity, right now, what do? Do good to all people. When he's saying do good, he's talking about living a life that brings glory to Jesus Christ, living in the power of the Holy Spirit, making an impact for Christ. We are here, not for ourselves, but to touch lives for Jesus Christ. We represent Christ. We represent him in a fallen world. We are to touch lives for Christ. And then he says something that's amazing. He says, especially, if you're going to do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of the faith. He's talking about touch lives, touch the fellow lives of believers, because he's writing this to a church, and he's saying to all of you in this room, listen, do good, do the best you can, live for Jesus Christ, touch lives for Christ, do good to all people, especially your fellow believers. Use your gifts, talents, and abilities to touch each other's lives for Jesus Christ. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for each other. Look for ways that you can impact somebody else's life for Jesus Christ. Especially, he says, the believers, the fellow believers, we're a family. We truly are a family. I told somebody the other day, the guy came in to talk to me, and I talked to him about this church. And I said, when this church started almost 4 years ago, the thing that makes this group so unique is that if you know that there's any kind of need in this body, you will meet it. If you know somebody's struggling with something, if somebody says, you know, they need something like this, there'll be four or five people come into my office and say, I heard there's this need. Let's do it. Let's do it. Because you see this group as a family. You see that you love each other. You may not know some of you, you know, you can only know a certain number of people. You can't know everybody. But those people around you that you know, when you know what's going on, you're ready to meet that need. You're doing good. So don't grow weary and you're doing good, because God's going to reward you at the right time. So the best you can, do good to all people, especially those in this body, because that's what he says to do. Do good to all. Boy, it's an amazing passage. So as we look at this passage, understand the principle of sowing and reaping, and whatever you put in, you're going to get out. And it's true, when you put in bad stuff, that's what comes out. When you put in good stuff, that's what comes out. So let me give you some applications. First one is this. Let's understand the principle of sowing and reaping. Whatever you put in, you get out. It always comes true. It always comes to pass. If you live for Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be blessings in life. If you live in the flower of the flesh, there's going to be corruption. That's the way it is, and it's now and in the future. Second, let's not grow weary. Let's keep on serving, because God will reward. I want you to think about this. First of all, keep on serving and investing in people's lives. That's why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. We are not here for ourselves. We are here for each other. And let me just say this, and this ties back into that giving thing that we talked about right in verse 6, because that's a sowing and reaping thing. If the people in this body are impacting you, teaching you, loving you, be sure and sowing and reaping, give back so that this ministry can carry on. And as I said, one of the things that will change you, I'm telling you, you want to be changed? You take what God gives you, and as an act of love and worship and trust, you take of your first fruits and you give it away. It will change you. You will love Him, you will worship Him, and you're going to have to trust Him. And your life will never be the same. When you realize everything you have is from God, and you're going to say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm giving this away because I'm being blessed. I'm being taught the word of God. And you say to give back, so to speak, sowing and reaping. So keep on serving, investing in each other's lives. Just realize this, our labor is not in vain. One day when you stand before Jesus Christ, He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not in vain. You'll stand before the Savior. Just remember this. You're serving the Lord. We're not serving ourselves. We're serving our Savior, Jesus Christ. So do good. Do good to others. Do good to all people, especially the household of faith. Henry Cloud has a great quote. I love this quote. Look what he says. He says, don't spend time, invest it. When you spend something, it's gone. But when you invest it, it returns over and over. We're not to spend time. We're investing our time in the lives of other people. And finally, the great truth, we will reap what we sow. And let it be the flesh corruption, both now and on into when we stand before Jesus, or it'll be of the Spirit. It'll be life and blessing. It'll be now, and it'll be on when we stand before our Savior. May we understand the principle of sowing and reaping, and may we invest our lives in other people, doing good to all people, especially the household of faith, knowing that we will reap if we do not grow weary.